Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now. This is Highway Motherfucking Diaries. This is your host, Eric Hollerbach. I'm sitting here with my main man, Evan Cassidy.
What's going on,
man? So, Evan is a producer of Duke Fightmaster stuff. Duke Fightmaster is an emerging internet talk show host guy. And you somehow became his producer. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Producer, it basically means like this. I'm getting interviewed all the time on podcasts. I'm at a lot of parties. I'm talking about how I'm a producer. I'm throwing that into every conversation, basically.
But you're of a certain age where giving Duke Fightmaster a sex act is a legal contract. Is that true?
A legal contract. Wow. That's we're getting legalese here.
I'm just saying.
I am.
What sex exchange between you and Duke Fightmaster?
Not yet. No, it has not been exchanged yet. That might be the next web series, maybe. Maybe a porn web series. That could be a new thing.
Download.
Yeah.
Cum shot.
Yeah, that could be a big thing.
So we just did the Flappers open mic. We did it towards the end because, you know, we don't need a lot of people to be there to have a good time. You know, if there's only two people in the audience and, you know.
Do your thing.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
I don't need the laughs to know that I've practiced tonight my craft.
No laughs.
More people.
No laughs. You don't want laughs.
I actually did the Comedy Store this past Sunday, and the MC at the Comedy Store was such a fucking dick, where every single time he would introduce people, like, you know, this is the open mic night, there's not going to be a lot of laughs. Anyway, please welcome, and then he would butcher someone's name, and then fucking they would go up.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, and then, so I got a little revenge on that MC, and let's play that game.
I'm sorry for that. I promise you it's going to get much, much better than what that was. This next guy, I actually have never met this guy before. Let's give him a chance, guys. Let's give up for Eric Hollerbach, guys. Let's give him back.
Particular brand of hipster backslapping introductions. Jesus fucking Christ.
Please lower your expectations. This is the open mic. We apologize in advance. The show's gonna be terrible. Please welcome some asshole I've never heard of. Go fuck yourself. Thank you. That's really nice. These are people's dreams. I got the Hello Kitty shirt. I'm fucking cooler than you. I wore my personality today. Please welcome Fizzle Fuckstick. Go fuck yourself. Just rip it. Okay, what was I going to do today? All right, and I've lowered the bar. Thank you, Smoke Bomb Worship Aliens. I've been Eric Hollerbach. Thank you very much.
All right, we're back. So that was me tearing into the MC at the fucking Comedy Store because he was a hipster douchebag. Any bad sets? What kind of bad sets have you, gone through? You are a fucking open mic maestro. Yeah, basically, all you do with your life is open mics.
Basically, pretty much. There's been a lot of bad sets, without a doubt. I think it's important though to have those, you know, like a lot of stuff at open mics, it's other comics, other open micers, so they're just gonna laugh at like rape dick joke. So I mean, if you're only catering to that, you know, that's, I don't know that you want to just cater to that kind of mentality. So sometimes it's good to just work out your stuff, and then you want to try to get up in front of a crowd as much as you can. But yeah, there's been some. I did a set one time. At a bar near where I live in Huntington Beach, and I performed for the host. Mm-hmm. That was it. Yeah. Just the host. A presumably homeless gentleman walked in, played a harmonica briefly throughout my set, and then walked out. Like, stumbled in, stumbled out. And the bartender was in and out.
Yeah.
And so that That's comedy right there.
Yeah.
That's...
No, I got booked for a show because someone saw me at Flappers and they're like, hey, we'll book for a show. Go to this bar in Hollywood. I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh,
I got booked for a show.
Feels good.
And then I get there and there was like the guy in front of me. This guy was like, oh, I'm the headliner. What's going on? What's going on? I'm like, there's no one here, man. What? There's no show. Why are you bragging that you're the fucking headliner?
Type 45, nonetheless.
When there's fucking nobody here. Then there was one Mexican group, like, having dinner in the back. And then they left. And it was literally one girl at the bar. And this guy's I'm the headliner tonight. What's going on? I'm the headliner.
He had his green room. He's like, don't come into my green room, man.
just introduce me as your fucking name, cocksucker.
There's a lot. I mean, that's you know, some people that are new to comedy, like, kind of want to some of them want to avoid open mics, but they want to find out this book show. But then it's like you get to certain book shows and there's less people than even open mics, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, I kind of just look at it as like, oh, wherever I can get up in front of people, you know, in front of like non-comic audience, I'm stoked, you know. And there's some open mics that are great for that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's desolate, but I think it's always better to get up and do your thing versus not get up and do it.
How long have you been doing this stand-up thing, Evan Cassidy?
Well, you know, I started dabbling in it about 6 years ago, but I was, you know, very lightly dabbling in it. I was in school at the time, and then when I finished up school about 2-3 years ago, I started doing sketches and the stand-up regularly, you know,
mm-hmm.
So... Past 2 years, I've been just getting up every night, you know, and, you know, I mean, I thought I had been doing it before, but once I started getting up every night, that was really when I started to feel like, okay, I'm starting to figure something out.
How old are you?
I just turned 27 on Monday.
Yeah, that's how old I am.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Rockstar age, man.
We're fucking in this.
Yeah.
We're in our prime. We're getting into fighting shape. And
top
then...
of our game. Yeah. Flappers Midnight Mike.
Speaking of the Comedy Store, though, one time I was there, the first time I went there, I'm going to give an exclusive thing. If you are going to the open mic at the Comedy Store, there's a trick to get on 100% of the time, and that is circle the number next to your name.
Huh.
If you circle the number next to your name on the sign-in sheet at the Comedy Store... Someone will assume that someone else who knew what the fuck they were doing circled your name and put you up.
So far,
both times I've done it, I've got right up.
Oh, wow.
But the first time I went up at the Comedy Store, this guy was bombing his first... You get 3 fucking minutes, right?
And
this
guy was, which night is this?
Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So this guy was bombing, and then he starts... This old black lady starts fucking with him and heckling him. And then he has an interaction where he's like, you know, a consensual interaction with this heckler. And then Tommy, the manager of the Comedy Store, was like, shut up! He just starts screaming, this is for comics! Why don't you shut your cunt mouth? Like, he just starts screaming for this old lady to shut up. And it's like... Dude, like, that was the only good part of that guy's fucking show, and you just start screaming. I don't know. I just have, every time I go to the store, it's the worst bad vibes. It's either you're getting, someone is introing you like an asshole, Tommy's screaming at a heckler, or, you know what I mean? It's just,
that's
the worst fucking place.
Yeah, about when I was, like, when I was in college still, I one time drove up, I would mostly do open mics around Orange County a little bit here and there, and I didn't do it that much in college, but... I drove up once to the Comedy Store, and I put my name in the hat, and I didn't get picked.
Yeah.
I just remember I was like, oh, shit, I drove 2.5 hours in traffic from Orange County, and I didn't get picked.
All the way to West Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's so fucking... And also, you know, the Laugh Factory only has auditions at one time, which is exactly when I'm at work. I can't audition for the Laugh Factory. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, the driving, though, I mean, I do so much driving now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the grind, you know? You just got to kind of dive into it and do what you can. I've hung out a couple times recently at the Comedy Store, and it's been just interesting to just hang out, see what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't try to really get up at a lot of the Hollywood clubs, you know. I'm mostly in Orange County, and then regions around Orange County, you know.
Now, you recently, as the producer of Duke Fightmaster, recently had a successful Kickstarter campaign for a movie. Now, okay, you had a whole web series called Duke's World.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then the whole, every single web series of Duke's World is, are we going to make a movie? Are we going to, maybe we're going to make a movie. That's we need a Kickstarter to make a movie.
That's the plot.
Then you got a successful Kickstarter. Is the movie going to be, we're making a movie now. Now you're seeing a movie.
It's 90 minutes
of them explaining how you're seeing a movie now.
We're doing this. We're making this movie.
Has this script been written?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there lines in it that this is a movie happening now, constantly explaining it?
You know, I think there is a bit of a background. Like, this part of the background is, it's mostly about friendship. It's about, like best friends.
You're giving spoilers right now.
I am. All the listeners, all of whom I'm sure were ones who donated to the campaign, mm-hmm. are just gobbling this up right now.
How much did you raise?
We raised over 12 grand. The goal was 11 grand, and we raised 12 grand.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. We did a season, the Duke's World web series, we did a season one last summer, around last summer, and then we filmed the season two last, like, fall, winter. And, yeah, it revolved around the Kickstarter campaign. Web series, the season two was about, oh, we're going to make a movie. Then the six or seven episode, we go, oh, we're going to do a Kickstarter campaign. More spoiler alerts. Mm-hmm. And so that was the week. The week we put that episode up was the week we started the Kickstarter campaign. And so the next four episodes were all about, like, oh, we're doing this Kickstarter campaign. And then the final episode, we haven't released one episode. There's two alternate endings, one if we succeeded and one if we failed. And so I don't think we've put up the failure one yet, but, yeah, I mean, it was something we did where, you know, we would try to explain it to people, like, yeah, we're trying to make a feature, and we have this web series about us making a feature and about a Kickstarter campaign that we're going to do, and it was really was a lot of work.
I guess it's like truth in comedy, you know, it comes from that instinct. If you're on stage and someone starts heckling you, the truth in comedy is that person's a cunt and you want to decimate them immediately. And so, but the truth in comedy in a web series when you're building towards a Kickstarter campaign tends to get a little, maybe I'm just criticizing you right now, but see, it's just endlessly referential of, we're making this movie now. Now, that's the...
you didn't like the web series?
I'm just fucking with you. I'm insanely...
Legitimate. All criticism is legitimate criticism. But yeah, I think a big... it was definitely... there was marketing in it, I guess. I mean, I don't really like the term marketing. It was more like... I mean, yeah, it was really truthful. It's funny because actually a lot of the things in the web series actually kind of... We wrote that, but then they actually ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who were like, people were like, oh, we'll help you fund this movie. Like, there's a guy in the web series that, like, approaches us, the money man, called. And he says, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you $100 million. And so we didn't have anybody offer us $100 million, but we definitely had people be like, oh, yeah, we'll help you, like, fund this movie that, like, ended up being kind of sketchy. Just other, you know, people that are like, oh, you can't do that. Like, I mean, Duke tried filming some scenes for the movie years ago, and I had seen some of that, and that was kind of when I approached him to start working with him. And we had a lot of people like, oh, you can't, like, oh, like, mm. friends of ours, like, oh, you can't do this, like, this is crazy, too, like, wow, you're doing it, like, that's, which kind of happens in the web series as well. So, but yeah, the goal was to make a movie, and to have a successful Kickstarter campaign, and happy that it went well. Now we have to make a movie.
Yeah, yeah. So when does that start filming? What's going on there?
We're hoping this June, next month, or over the next 2 months, basically.
Yeah.
We want to block out 2 weeks and just film all day, every day. We're working on another web series right now. We're just kind of trying to, like, fine tune our crew and, you know, we're filming at some of the locations we're going to film the feature at. So, and trying to get sharper with our equipment and everything and just get the feel for, like, a full day of filming.
Yeah.
So we have another web series that'll be coming out before the feature, and then, you know, we'll film the feature. So, yeah, we try to just stay busy.
There's never been a more exciting time, and I was listening to Bobby Kelly's podcast today. There's never been a more exciting time to fucking be a comedian right now.
Yeah.
Because right now, we're struggling open micers. We just did a shit fucking open mic. But then we walk around, we walk out, and we go, I got a fucking Zoom recorder, and let's start doing a podcast. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's... If you are not a lazy person, you can have a podcast, you can have a web series, you can, you know, start building an internet presence you're making your crap.
Just have an iPhone, you can make a web series, a podcast.
Yeah.
I was even thinking that. It's like, I drove 45 miles. It was more than 45 minutes. And, you know, to do a 3-minute set, 45 minutes is, you know, can be a little grating. But to knowing, I'm going to do a podcast as well. It feels like you're doing more, doing something.
And then this is going to be on the internet forever. Yeah. And I always think about that because I always, insult people and then it's on the internet forever. And then I'm like, I sound like a dick forever now. That wrinkle in time, you know, but I'm also so self-delusional that, like, anyone's going to be studying, like, the great knowledge of Eric Hollerbach later on. But, hold on. I gotta just make an apology. Yeah. Every episode I make an apology now. That's been the thing. And I have this friend called Alan Harris, and he's Jewish, and he worked at MTV. And one time he was saying that the Jews have such a great sense of humor because that they've been oppressed their whole life. And this really angered me, and I said, you're a Jew in show business! You're not fucking oppressed! So I just wanted to apologize for saying that. I don't know why I get so angry for no reason.
You guys had an argument over this, or?
It wasn't an argument. It's just that's what I said. He seemed bummed out and kind of avoided me for 2 weeks. Wow. This was like 4 years ago, but I feel like let's clear the air now. Sorry, Alan.
You heard it. You heard
You're
it,
a
Alan.
Good buddy of mine.
The air is cleared.
But do you ever say like, you seem like a nice guy? I've heard you on Self Indulgent Podcast. You don't seem like you talk that much shit on podcasts.
Yeah, I don't talk a lot of shit on podcasts. You know, I just keep it. I keep it for off the podcast. I don't know. I mean,
secretly hate everybody.
There's some people. I don't know. Comedy.
What motivates you to do comedy? What is that fire in your belly that tells you that every single day you're gonna fucking do comedy? Every single night you're gonna do an open mic. What is that? Where does that fire come from? Is that hatred? Is that a need for attention?
Hatred.
What is that?
That's a good question. It could be. It's probably subconsciously. I'm sure there's a need for attention. I'm sure all of us have that a little bit. I just kind of the way I interact with people is by joking around, being funny, doing characters, just being myself, being funny. And I mean, in college, I used to go to crash parties and do characters at just fucking with people, you know? And so I just always found I was doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When I would try to be serious, I would end up just being the class clown. So it's just what I always kind of gravitate towards. When I'm being where I'm at in my life, if I don't, I've kind of dedicated myself to this. And so if I don't go out and perform every night, I feel like, what the fuck am I doing with my day? Like, I'm...
If I tell people that I'm a stand-up comedian, but this night, even though I'm the only one keeping track, if I don't go out, I'm a fucking fraud in my own head.
Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah. I definitely feel like that. If I'm not working on, a podcast, sketches, like, I'm not, what am I doing?
Because now with the internet, you can. Before, you would be... a comic actor and be like, well, my agent didn't call me today, so I'm going to jerk off and eat corn chips. But now it's like, no, if my agent doesn't call me today, let me make a podcast. Let me fucking get up and let me fucking do something.
Yeah, I think it's on you, I think, definitely to pave your path with comedy. And, there's so much you can do on it by yourself. You can't claim, if you have a phone, if you have something, if you have a friend who has a phone, you can film some type of sketch.
And if you have GarageBand, you have more power in your hand than the entire 1950s of radio, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from the beginning of radio, you have more power in your hand with GarageBand than ever before.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Vine is really cool. The new app. I mean, you can make little 6 second videos, sketches with that essentially.
I really want to like just film myself on Vine jerking off and see if I can go from flaccid to coming in 7 seconds.
Wow. That could get hits.
Do you think that video games... I just have topics to talk about.
Oh, go for it. Go for it,
man. You know, and I edit this down to make it sound like we're actually smart people. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure I drink and smoke enough pot to, like, you know, where... Like, I've taken my bachelor's degree definitely down to an associate's.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I probably have this week as well.
Do you think that video games are an outlet for men to experience what war is like without actually killing anyone? Go.
Wow, this is... let's see, do I have an opinion on this topic?
And also, do you think that anime pornography prevents pedophiles? This thing of... And you know, in Japanese culture, I read a little bit about it because, you know... Their women have like really tight sideways vaginas that are like beautiful. So I get into that stuff and into Japanese culture in general. And they make a dog whistle. That's how tight they are. When a Japanese girl queefs, it makes a dog whistle because their twat is so tight. My point is that culturally they believe that. You know, when you have video games and when you watch hentai, that like exercises man's demons so that he doesn't actually kill people, so that he doesn't actually rape schoolgirls. What do you think?
Yeah, that's like not project. So that's like, you know, sublimation. The psychological term.
Sublimation is when solid becomes a gas, like natural, dry ice.
That's maybe the chemistry or biological.
There's more than one term for sublimation.
Like, there's a psychological. There's a Freudian. It was originally a Freudian term it's like, oh, if you're an aggressive guy, you go and play football and you tackle people and knock people over, and so you sublimate that aggression that would be otherwise exerted in a non-socially acceptable manner. So what I guess there's probably an element of sublimation in video games with like violence, but I think to a certain extent there might be, you know, people are just getting off on the violence of it, and then it's like, oh, I need a bigger fix. Like, but I think that there's so many different. With, you know, violence in the real world, there's so many different factors that cause it that you can't just say, oh, it's because of video games. I mean, a guy who murders somebody might have enjoyed video games, but he probably also had a messed up childhood and not a whole lot of people around him, you know, but...
What's weird about video games is now with drone strikes, like... The army, the actual business of death and killing and war is video games. You know,
it's pretty trippy.
And even on some Marine commercials, they're like, they show a kid playing video games and they're like, you know what? We've been looking for you. Uncle Sam wants those fucking kids. And then they show them, like, in a computer, like, you know, blowing orphans apart with fucking drone missiles. And it's like, you can be this guy. You know.
Yeah, and the kid's like, wow, awesome, I get to play video games. Yeah. And they don't have to see the dead bodies.
Exactly. It's such like a it's terrifying. Have you ever proposed to a babysitter?
Because
I remember I had a memory where a babysitter was over. She was really hot and I was probably 8 and she was probably 14. And I was like, hey, let's do this.
Busted out the Cracker Jack box ring?
Let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? What'd she say?
She kind of laughed and then, you know, didn't, like, give me a full release sponge bath. And then I was put to bed. Mm. And nothing really came of that.
Nothing,
you know what I'm saying?
Nothing happened in past.
Pretty
past.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Have you ever proposed to a babysitter?
You know, I actually may have. There was one babysitter when I was like four. That was like, I think I told her I loved. I think her name was Jill. I think I told her I loved her.
Yeah.
I was like, Jill, like I love you. I mean, let's make this happen, Jill. I know I'm four and all that, but.
What did Jill say?
Probably a similar turn of events.
So I went speed dating a few days ago. Have you ever done speed dating?
Speed dating? I have not.
Speed dating is pretty crazy because you literally go on a 4-minute date with 25 people, and it's impossible not to have your life down to a 90-second shtick.
Oh,
like, as I was speed dating, I was telling the same jokes over and over again, and one of my main jokes was, oh, it's impossible to keep track of 19 different lies I'm telling, you know, like, I was fucking...
Got a laugh.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that, wow, was that
I had honed my material by the last day.
Oh, not, yeah, you developed a set. You developed a 90-second...
I did 23 dating. Shows.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to do it just for the stage time, man. Get to tell jokes to a hot chick. That sounds fun. Or probably not too many of them were hot.
One of them looked like a transsexual man. Like, she looked like she was a man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there were some decent ones over there. There was one really hot girl, and it seemed like, you know, they hit a button, or they hit a beep, or a bell. Yeah, they hit a bell every 4 minutes, and the person around the 110 of the crowd was always clogged. It was always like, okay, buddy, move. All right, buddy, move. Like, that was always a log jam. Because you could tell that, you know, it was so obvious that it's like...
Step the light with the hottie.
Yeah. So have you ever done speed dating or anything like that?
Never. No? Was that some Craigslist operation?
There's this website called meetup.com, and they have a lot of, like, singles meetups, you know what I mean? You're on the OkCupid.
Yeah, I was talking about that.
I just heard your joke. How's the OkCupid working out for you?
I don't really actively... I go on there sometimes and just look at, you know, randomly look at profiles. I don't really use it that often, though. I never had, for a while, I was pursuing it a little more, but I never had that much success with it. I met a couple girls, and they... didn't look like their pictures. Pretty standard.
Yeah.
I would find out from other people's experiences, but there's a lot of interesting people on there, and it's interesting to read what people write about themselves on there, without a doubt. Yeah.
I used to be on OkCupid, but I would literally spend like 3 hours, and I would message like 20 girls, and then like, you know, two get back to you.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's about
it
the
is
numbers.
Like, it's like driving to open mics. What are you, am I going to drive 45 minutes to an open mic, do a 3-minute set, go home, and then spend 45 minutes emailing girls, and then have one girl whose picture is very ambiguous get back to me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go on the date, and then it's like, oh, wow, that was the one angle where you don't look like a manatee. Come on.
Yeah.
What's up here?
A lot of manatees on there. Manatees.
They need love, too.
Manateesers. I'll just invite girls to shows on there. I'll just say,
oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you live near Brea. Oh, come out to this show, you know.
What? Did I hear that you're living with your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's a little rough, you know, trying to bring girls back.
Yep, it is. It is. It's good not...
So you're just full-time doing open mics.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Just doing comedy. I mean... fortunate to get some shows that are fun here and there, and just focusing on comedy, doing the sketches and the podcast and the stand-up. That's my life. I definitely need to, like, go take a day and go to the beach or do something that's not comedy related, but yeah, it's good. It's good to just focus on that. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of... I live with my parents. I don't have a whole lot of bills, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. That's the good part about living with your family. My family's pretty supportive. Like, they let me eat their food, and they believe in me, you know,
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
to the extent that they can.
Are they ever giving you any hints, you know? Do they ever, like, leave the newspaper on your bed with, you know, classified circled and, you know?
For a while, they, like... But I think that was more when I didn't know what I... Like, I think if you don't know what you want to do... I mean, if you're someone who's working as hard as you can at something, people are going to respect that. And so I think I've kind of earned that respect from my family. And
because they see, okay, this guy's at least going out every single night.
Yeah, he's performing every night. He's doing all he can. I drink. I take breaks from drinking as well. Like, I'll have, like, 3 months where I just don't drink. I should probably just stick with not drinking, but it's a waste. I was thinking about getting a beer earlier, but it's like, you know, that's $6-$7 out of your pot. That could go, that's, for my car, that's like 50, 60 miles of gas that could go to open mics and shows and...
60 miles for $6.
The Prius over there.
Jesus Christ.
That makes it possible. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here in Burbank today.
Did you go to college?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
UC Irvine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you in a frat?
No.
No?
Never.
What'd you study?
Psychology. Cognitive sciences was the...
And your bachelor's in cognitive sciences.
Yeah, I am one credit away from
having a doctor.
No, having my bachelor's. I was doing, like, research with, you know, psychological research and stuff, and so that was kind of my MO for a long time. But then once I was just like, dude, I'm just doing comedy, I was like, you know, fuck it, you know. But then I'm kind of one of those people, like, when I decide to do something, I'm just kind of like, there is nothing else, you know. Like, I mean, you just do comedy, and also I believe, you know, if you really dedicate yourself to something, you can make it happen. I mean, you might not be a superstar. I mean,
you've had a successful Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah,
they're making a fucking movie.
I'm producing Duke Fightmaster's debut feature film.
And what is that? Is that also going to be called Duke's War?
No, it's going to be called Pablo Steele.
Pablo Steele. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, what role do you play in Pablo Steele?
I play the role of Robert, the Frenchman. He is a friend of one of the characters in the movie that is like this French improv actor, and he kind of stirs things up in this world of characters in the movie with his French style, and it's like one of the main roles, Robert. So you'll be seeing my mug in Pablo Steele.
Silver fucking screen.
Yeah. Pablo, hopefully a silver screen somewhere. You can come over to Duke's apartment and see it on that silver screen.
Hell yeah.
And Dana Point.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have, for any of the Kickstarter things, like, did you give away t-shirts? Like, hey, if you give out $30, then we have to give you a t-shirt, anything like that?
We had a bunch of rewards. I think that the lowest level reward was a hug from either Duke or myself. With pelvic region out. The next level was hug pelvic region in. So if you donated, you're going to be cashing in on that because it succeeded.
When do you have to, like, give all that?
Anytime. Oh, there was a deadline for each one. There was, like, a DVD of the movie, or I think a download of the movie. You get to come to the movie party if you donated a certain amount, or, like the debut party. And then for a certain level, you get like a role in the, like a speaking or non-speaking. And then if you just fronted the entire movie, you got to play Duke's role in the movie, which, no one cashed in on, surprisingly. No one cashed in that 10 grand for that role. So Duke's playing the main role.
Well, I'm sure he's a little relieved about that he...
Yeah, yeah.
No,
well,
no,
I mean, we would have been...
him out.
Yeah, yeah. We would have been stoked just to make the movie, I think, either way, though.
Yeah.
No matter what. But, yeah, he gets to play the role in it, so...
How can people find everything Evan Cassidy?
You can go to Twitter. I am at Mick Evan Mick Cassidy. That's MC Evan, EVAN. MC Cassidy, CASSIDY. That's the original Irish spelling of my name. Irish Gaelic spelling of my name, McEvan McCassidy. Facebook.com/EvanRobertCassidy.
What is your OKCupid in case any girls are out there going, and they, you know, aren't manatees, and they're like, I want to, you know, get inside that.
I don't know. Don't OKCupid me.
What's your OKCupid? Is it Evan Cassidy on OKCupid?
It's
your online dating profile?
It's Big Wang 77. No, I don't know.
You're my age. How is it 77? It should be 85.
I want people to think I'm more of a loser. Being 37? Would that be 37?
I don't know. I can't remember.
36.
What is your OKCupid profile name?
I don't want to say.
Say it.
It's a Ginger Balls 99.
All right. Ginger and balls. When is the movie's getting filmed? Pablo Steele's getting filmed in the next 2 months. When is Pablo Steele done? Sometime 2015.
If we're lucky, 2015. That's a pretty.
Is there a lot of special effects and editing that needs to go? So you get
it's low budget. It's $11,000 budget with $12,000.
What is most of that money going towards?
Cameraman, the cinematographer, the actors, like the main actors, just getting the crew to be able to block out 2 full weeks from work. Those of them that do have actual jobs, which might not be too many, but it's just for cast and crew and burritos for the craft services table.
Hell yeah.
We shouldn't hopefully knock it out in just, you know, two weeks. Probably have to do some like pickup stuff, but yeah, hopefully be done, you know, sometime soon.
Big costumes and special effects and stuff. See, I found the same thing. I have this web series called Damien Shadows, and
nice.
It just came out recently, and we've been filming it forever, and people don't, like, the actors, you know, are very patient, but they don't always understand, like, the level of editing going into stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the polish shit over and over again until it's somewhat something.
It's pretty low budget. I mean, it's all locations in Orange County for the most part. No special effects whatsoever, so it should be pretty straightforward. I mean, we can definitely do it with like an $11,000 budget. And I mean, we made our other web series on no budget which had like 20 some locations. And,
where Duke lives is like on the side of cliffs, and it's this beautiful, serene place. And,
he lives pretty close to, all that. Close by. I mean, Dana Point, there's a lot of, you know, the whole South Orange County, San Clemente, Dana Point, Laguna is all kind of where we've been filming. Beautiful place. Yeah, it's
has tremendous production value.
From
the days where Duke actually worked for a living and was rich as fuck.
Yeah.
And then he's just still hanging around there.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he's living the dream. He's doing it. He's making it happen.
And there's been no sex between you and Duke Fife Master. I just want to get that on the record because it's ambiguous whether or not you guys have had sex.
Well, there could be possibly the sex web series.
Okay.
Who knows? Tune in to the next web series we have coming out. Could have some sex in it between.
But you haven't rehearsed off camera at all, is what I'm asking.
Well, we're total method. In
when
the
did you guys know that you wanted to work with each other? What happened? Were you both at an open mic and
we walked
from across the room?
We were basically at Bill Ward's open mic at the Irvine Suites Hotel. Which, that open mic was canceled in the last 6 months, and in the last, I believe, 6 days, there was a shootout there with police.
What?
So, pretty appropriate place to have an open mic. That was over in Lake Forest, and me and Duke used to go there every week. I'd done a few shows with him before that, some stand-up shows, and he had his talk show, I had a web series I did. And I liked his stuff, and he was talking about doing the movie back then. So I was like, hey, I want to help you make the movie. Let's make a movie.
Yeah.
And we started out working on a bunch of other web series projects because he had a camera, and so we just kind of worked, you know, kind of got sharper with the camera, found some camera guys to work with. So it Irvine Suites Hotel, the shootout. A lot of tranny prostitutes at the hotel. A lot of drug deals at the hotel. That's where this strong comedy alliance was born.
Mm-hmm.
Right place.
That's
man.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Your story is very inspiring to me because, you know, I've made Damien Shadows and I've made a web series 1, 10, and 20. And people are like, why'd you do that? Well, because we'll have a Kickstarter to if you want fucking more Damien Shadows, you want episodes 2 through 9 to make it feel complete in your head, we'll have a fucking Kickstarter for that. You want episodes 11 to 19, we'll have a fucking Kickstarter for that.
So you haven't made those yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
So right now, we're going to wait a little bit, generate a little buzz on what we have on Funny or Die right now.
Nice.
And then when we have a certain number of hits, when we have like 10,000 hits on stuff, then we'll start going, okay, well, let's have a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
So we shot this original 16-minute pilot that we'll throw onto Kickstarter, onto Funny or Die at that time with the commercial at the end, like, hey, one more Damien Shadows? So basically, so far, I've just been working at this job throwing $6,000 at this fucking giant, colossal project called Damien Shadows.
Jeez.
Until we can, you know.
You've already thrown $6,000 at it?
Here's the thing about Kickstarter, and this is what I like about what you guys did. You guys made a whole web series for free and then said, look what I can do for nothing. Yeah. Now give me money. I don't like Kickstarter for when someone's like, I want to be a painter, Kickstarter to buy me a paintbrush. No, yeah. Cocksucker, you get a paintbrush and you make 17 portraits that are amazing and then have a Kickstarter for like some kind of mural. Show me what you front. A fucking whole lot of effort and then kickstart.
Yeah, I think they have even rules where like you can't just be like, hey, I'm this kid. I have a film degree. I want to buy a camera.
Yeah,
you know, my mom and dad cut me off. Will someone buy me one? They have like specific like you might not be able to actually do. Have you seen one where it's a painter? That
no, but it's like, yeah, you no, know,
yeah, but,
you
but know there, what I'm there saying? Are there there's definitely things like that. Yeah, and I actually about 2 years ago had a Kickstarter campaign that didn't succeed. I was trying to do a similar thing to what you were doing, you know, do a web series, like,
yeah.
like 15 episode web series. And, I did not, succeed in that campaign. So that,
how much were you asking for?
$5,000.
Yeah.
$5,000. So, you know, if your goal is like, okay, I'm just going to put something out there. I'm going to put something that I think is funny, but, that's a good work ethic versus, oh, I'm going to spend $500 buying these costumes, rent out a bar for $500, you know, pay actors and then have it all fall apart last minute because everybody's flaky, you know. That was my experience with my original web series, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's tough, man. It's
being like really responsible fiscally is so important to like survive out here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, man. It definitely is. Yeah. Like my decision to not buy a beer tonight. Mm-hmm.
It's a big fiscal choice.
Yeah, it is. That $6 goes a long way. That can be your gas home from Burbank in one night,
or your hand job at a fucking hourly motel. That
your hand job outside of a speed dating session. You know,
that is definitely after speed dating. If you don't get laid, you want an HJ.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. Did you like meet any of those girls?
You know what? I have a date next week, so we'll see what's going on.
You guys heard it first. Some inside, little inside info.
It's weird though because you know we met on this speed dating thing, and it's like not until next week because I'm like I have so many commitments already. You know, it's just so crazy even entering a relationship with fucking the comedy thing like we were telling about today.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make, I have another announcement I want to tell the Highway Diary listeners. Next guest is going to be Daniele Bolelli from, he's been on the Joe Rogan podcast, so he's going to be my next guest.
Nice.
He's a teacher at Santa Monica College of, you know, religion and stuff and philosophy, and he's a badass Italian guy, so anyway.
Nice.
Daniele Bolelli next week. Are you a prolific tweeter?
I don't know. I try to tweet a couple times a day, every, like, in a 24-hour period.
How do you tweet more or masturbate more?
I probably tweet more, actually, lately. There was definitely a time, though, where I was masturbating more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pre the existence of Twitter and during the existence and even my existence on Twitter, I was... jerking off more than tweeting, but now I'm tweeting a good 3-4 times a day.
What about you whacking?
Not that much. Probably just, you know, a daily set.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
A set.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by the set?
I tell jokes as I tweet.
I got a strong 7 minutes of whacking.
Yeah, I'm at that level.
I want to give a confession. It used to be my life goal where I wanted to come more times from a woman than from, you know, being in the room with me than just masturbating alone.
Yeah.
And I think that is a very hard to achieve.
That is.
If you're not a king.
I think it's good for your self-esteem, without a doubt, if you can't achieve that.
The level of cum that a girl would have to endure if she was there for every single one would... just the numbers. It's like if I... you would have to categorize the amount of times I masturbated in scientific notation. It's like 16 to times 10 to the 47. You know what I mean? And when you have that number of cum, when you have that much whacking, to have a girl, like, responsible for all that juice, that is, it's too much to ask for. That is a full-time job.
That you would need a very self-esteemless woman, without a doubt.
Where are they? Are they on the
Probably
OkCupid?
throughout Los Angeles, I think, and Southern California, probably.
See, I find that in Southern California, like, beauty is like a currency here, where it's like a girl knows exactly how hot she is. She's like, oh, I'm an 8, so let me leverage this 8 for the best deal possible. Do you think that's going on?
I could see that. I think that there's definitely like a hyper-awareness of looks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there is also, I think, like, something, like, each person, there's something for everybody. Like, someone, like, if you're a bigger girl, dudes will be way into that. I think pretty much if you're, you know, you can find what you want. But yeah, and then there's those girls that are like, oh, I'm so fucking hot. And then people act, oh, wow. They respond to that girl like she is hot. You know, I think there's a subjective element to attractiveness, I think.
Someone who's traumatized, could they deal with someone with post-traumatic stress disorder, could they deal with the amount of cum I have?
You know, they didn't go over that in my psychology classes. They did not cover that.
That was not day one of cognitive behavioral therapy.
That was not the direction they
went. What the fuck are they teaching you at UC Irvine?
Nothing that helps a broke comic, I guess.
True that. So, I also, you know, I attained my degree in writing. Well, really liberal arts. I think I got a liberal arts degree. It says writing nowhere on my fucking application. But that's the only thing I studied, so it's fucking ridiculous. And whether or not I have a degree or don't have a degree, I think is pretty much irrelevant versus the number of Twitter followers I have. So, like, college is not evolving as fast as the jobs are evolving. Jobs are evolving so fast. When I learned how to write, I didn't learn how to write screenplays. I learned how to write short stories. Where there is literally zero people on the planet right now making a living from writing short fiction. Because anyone who gets a book deal of an anthology of short fiction is a professor at college. Yeah. So there's...
You could have taken a screenwriting class though, right? I mean, you just didn't know what you were into back then, or...
Well, they didn't teach, like, I had to, I wrote a screenplay for my final project, but that was after I had to convince them to let me do that, because everyone else was writing journalism stories or something like that for their senior project. So mine, I got to make it into a screenplay, but, you know.
Yeah, I regret I didn't take a film class or take, you know, an improv theater class when I was in college. It's because, I mean, it's real important to know what you want from college, you know, because then you can go, oh, okay, I can go to this college that does have a screenwriting class. I can take this class, that class. I mean, it's good to kind of figure, you know, I just kind of dived right into college, so.
Is college for entertainment completely obsolete and a waste of time? Should you just, instead of spending that money on class, should you spend that money on gas, going to gigs, and fucking grinding?
I think it's different for everybody, but I think, everybody's got a different path. I mean, that's the thing, is like there's no one path with any career.
So if you spend $200,000, you could have made 4 movies for that.
Yeah, totally.
So should you make 4 movies and have 4 director credits, or should you spend $200,000 on your education?
Yeah, I think just going out there and doing it. I mean, there's definitely you hear of a lot of comics that just started out just, you know, 18, they started doing comedy, and that's all they've done their whole life. And I mean, I think that's good. There's also, you know, it's definitely a knowledge and experience to be gained from college. I mean,
yeah.
Part of me is like, oh, why didn't I just do comedy when I was in high school and after? But then at the same time, it's like, oh, well, I learned this and that, and I became this or that person from my experiences. So, you know, whatever. I mean, if you're an 18-year-old who's like, oh, this is definitely what I want to do, I mean, you're probably going to change your mind anyways. I mean, that's the one aspect. But if you do know what you want to do, go out and just start doing comedy. I mean, you can always go to college later on if you want to. I mean, I have some friends. I have a good friend who's he's like 20, and he's transferring to like Cal State Northridge, and he's studying film, and he's doing stand up at the same time. So my buddy Jake Adams, and so he's doing. He's, you know, getting his film education. He's, you know, meeting different people. So, I mean, definitely, you can get the most out of it, you know. But I think...
Yeah, when I was in college, I did UCB New York, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like I got that full college comedy experience, nice. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, I got a buddy, Connor King, who moved from Philadelphia to Florida. He did stand-up in Fort Lauderdale for 6 months, and then he moved to Los Angeles, and now he's doing stand-up here. He's getting his fucking doctorate in street smarts, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He's just going after it.
Yeah, I think, if you know what you want to do. See, I didn't know when I was 18, oh, comedy is it for me. Yeah. I was, I'm interested in psychology, I'm interested in this, that, and so,
How old were you when you decided that comedy was it?
I was, 24. It was toward the end of college, and I was making my videos, my sketches, and I was like, dude, yeah, fuck school, fuck grad school, you know. So yeah, that was, but I think also it's like you can kind of, some people that are old, like, oh, you can brood, oh, I didn't find out, you know, I didn't start when I was younger, but it's like, well, you know what your passion is now, so I mean, that life can't suck that bad if you're pursuing something that you love. I mean, yeah. Just go for it.
Are you spiritual at all? Do you have a sense that God and the divine is inhabiting your body when you're doing comedy?
Well, being Mormon,
you're from the OC. There's no fucking Mormons in the OC.
Oh, au contraire.
There's a Mormon fucking OC bicycle gang.
I'm from Fountain Valley, California, the FV streets. Big Mormon population there. I was raised Catholic, though. I'm Irish, raised Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been to church in a good while, but I'd say I have a spiritual element. I mean, I'm basically an atheist, but I definitely think... there's like, you know, I mean, it sounds cliche, but a universal energy, good energy, good thing. And I definitely think, your passion, your love, that's kind of like the highest thing, you know. And yeah, you definitely, and that definitely, you know, my, I guess kind of, and I guess that's a spiritual thing, you know. I mean, I don't know if you want to say religious or spiritual, but, I'm definitely kind of, I think if I didn't have kind of like in the back of my head, like, oh, this is like a, this whole experience is something that's going to like, you know, it has a higher purpose. If anything, just in the terms of being happy, you know, like, I don't think you could go through all the bullshit of, like, if you just wanted to make money or if you just wanted to be famous, like, I don't think you could take the, I don't think you can handle driving 45 minutes for 3 minutes. I mean. You have to do it because you love it, and I definitely think love is it's a valuable thing, you know. So, if you I'm definitely motivated by that.
By the love of comedy.
Yeah, the love of comedy, the love of life, you know, love of making people laugh. I mean, it sounds cheesy, but Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I can't ever. I mean, sure, I get enough. I'm like, fuck, you know, this crowd is dead tonight. But it's even then, it's like still like I'm driving home. I'm like, oh fuck, like I'm doing comedy. Like I'm, dude, like I'm doing what I love. You know, like it's crazy. Man.
Do you have any dates to promote?
What time? When does this go out?
This Tuesday.
Oh yeah. what time?
If you're very early in the morning.
Oh, if you're in Orange County, Tuesday, May 21st, my birthday show is at the Brea Improv.
You're having your birthday show the day that this comes out at the Brea fucking Improv.
It was written. This was had to happen. This is some spiritual.
Yeah, send me the link. I'll post it under the episode.
Yeah, then the next day I do a weekly show in Huntington Beach at a Shanghai Room. Do you have any listeners in Orange County?
I don't know. Yeah.
If you're a secret closet fan of the Eric Hollerbach podcast,
Highway Diaries with Eric Hollerbach.
Highway Diaries, come get out on the highway. Go to Brea Improv Tuesday, May 21st. Shanghai Room in Huntington Beach, Wednesday, May 22nd. I do that one every week. Shanghai Room.
So, badass.
Yeah, any Wednesday.
Yeah. Go to EricHollerbach.com. I got a flapper show coming up, I think June 1st. Go to appearances section. I'm also going to show Wilhelm Skeptisch at Flappers as well. Sometime soon. So, this has been another episode of Highway Fucking Diaries with my main man, Evan Cassidy.
Highway Fucking Diaries.
He's got a successful Kickstarter campaign. He's making a movie. Go get your fucking dreams, cocksuckers. Go get them.